Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Got a big 5 o'clock hour. Coming up next, Miss Kelly in the Sports Center. But joining us now, the greatest Dallas-Fort Worth media columnist, radio host, and all-around badass. It's me, Randy Galloway. Randy! Yeah.
Yo, yo, yo. Hello, guys.
Oh, man, dude. Thank you so much for taking time to join us, the great Randy Galloway. Look, with something happening like Dirk shutting it down, we need your perspective. And Skin pointed out that you have the greatest Dirk line of all time, which isn't unusual for you to have the greatest line about a topic, but is that Dirk saves all butts.
Well, that was the Dirk we knew through all of those 21 years. Not all of them were high, high, high. We do remember 06. But even then, you know, Dirk was Dirk. And guys, the last 48 hours since Wednesday night, it's almost like your best friend in sixth grade. He and the family, they moved off to the West Coast and you're never going to see him again. And that hurts. That hurts. You know, you'll get over it. You'll find a new best friend and you'll move on. But right now, thinking about never seeing Dirk playing basketball with a Maverick uniform on, that stings a little bit.
It does. It stings a lot. It's really, you know, this is what the word bittersweet is all about, because you're happy for him. I mean, Harp said the other night on the broadcast, he's like, oh man, Dirk's getting ready to go live his best life. And Harp knows a little something about hanging it up, right?
Yeah.
But but Dirk just meant so much to so many people, and you know, you've been in the thick of this for all these years, and you know what football is about here. But Dirk really meant so much to Dallasites, and it's kind of crazy because football's number one, but somehow Dirk became number one.
Yeah, and it's that you'd be here as long as I've been here, and you guys have been around forever too. You know, we've seen greatness in different sports, and by the way, we've seen greatness and class combined, but that's certainly much more rare. But it's, you know, the same thing that Larry said Tuesday night, Scotty said, Rick always says, the class element with Dirk is well way off the charts, and that combined with that greatness, other guys that have come through here since the Cowboys arrived in 1960, we can name other names, but we all know this: Dirk is tied for first.
Yeah,
he's tied for first. With all the people that qualify under greatness with just extreme class. And Dirk's mom and daddy, they should have opened a sperm farm. It's a and I'm not talking about just for basketball reasons. I'm talking about
human
being reasons. Because if all human beings were like Dirk, we'd just have us a hell of a world. It would be a good one. And that's the ultimate compliment that I think we can pay Dirk. Now, we looked at it, and I did for all these years since the day he arrived. You look at it from a media standpoint, and I really appreciated the words of my friend, your friend, the great Dwayne Price on Mavs.com today. If you hadn't read his column, read it. Mac England, the Star Telegram this morning. If you hadn't read his column, read it. And, of course, Brad Townsend, who's just as good as it gets anywhere in the United States mm-hmm. when it comes to writing sports, all of his words on this, I think they say what I'd be trying to say, looking at Dirk, not from a fan standpoint, but from a media standpoint, and kind of how he dealt with us And boy, we can be stupid. We can really be stupid in the media. But all the years how he dealt with us, and I'll bring it up again, the 06 thing. That was hard, man. That was hard for Dirk, but God, just the total class that he gave us. And it's a guy that when he retires, I mean, it's not fake words or false words to say we're going to miss him. We're really going to miss him. Anybody in the media is going to miss him, and then that goes to, you know, fans, organization, everybody involved.
You know, it's really well said, and you're right, him being tied for first. And I just, it's hard when you're right in the moment, you know, because all my emotion, all my thoughts are on Dirk. But who are the other guys for you that you kind of put on that same level that have ever come through Dallas-Fort Worth?
Well, I'd say, you know, you start with Roger. Maybe you start with Landry. But Landry was a guy that until that American Express commercial, he always left his personality at home. You didn't see that from a Landry. And later on, even when the Cowboys were going bad under Tom in the 80s, he kind of opened up a little bit personality-wise. But I think you start with Roger. You obviously go to Nolan Ryan. You can go down the list of so many Cowboys. And you can go down the list. Of course, I'm prejudiced. I've got to say Derek and Roe. You know they were my sons back in the days when they were just kids. But Madonna, you can go over a lot of different names. But Dirk, I got it. He's tied for first with anybody you want to put up there. If not the leader in the clubhouse, who knows? But he's that's what he's been here over the years. And what I still over the last week, I've harked back to Donnie Nelson. And I know Donnie's gotten some recognition this, but I don't think near enough that the state of the Mavericks, bottom feeders, total bottom feeders in 1998, had been bottom feeders the entire decade. And then Frank Zaccanelli, now there's a name from the past,
yeah.
hires, he's running the basketball team. The desperate basketball team for Ross Perot Jr. And Zaccanelli hires Don Nelson. And I lost a bet to Zaccanelli. No way Don Nelson would ever take this job. He takes it, brings in his son, who I didn't know, whatever. And here's Donnie convincing Dad, you got to take this 12-year-old, 7-foot German that nobody had ever heard of. Wait a minute, Paul Pierce is there. Did you see the draft? He's there. And it's on and on and on that he talked him into making that pick, again, for a desperate franchise that just had to get this thing right and pick the right player. And at the same time, Donnie goes, hey, Dad, there's a guy in Phoenix not playing that much, but he's going to be Steve Nash. We got to bring him in. And so, I mean, just to bring in those two players for the franchise in the desperate state it was in. And I know you guys do it, but salute Donnie, too, because that took some big coconuts. On both those cases, and he turned out to be so right.
Can you think anybody else that's ever traded or acquired two MVPs on the same day? Yeah, I can't imagine there's a long list, baby.
Yeah, Google that.
Right.
Hey, see if that's happened, yeah.
And Randy, you may already be aware of this, but I know you're going to love it. You were giving praise to Brad Townsend. He's got a piece coming out on Sunday in the Sunday paper about Dirk and Holger and Donnie, and he does it in that Brad Townsend way. It's just going to be spectacular reading coming up.
I will be waiting to read it right here on this cheap little Dell computer that I've got, because I am I'm a huge fan of Brad Townsend. I did, like I said, it does, sports writing wise, it does not get better in the United States, period.
Absolutely.
And what Brad does.
Well, man, what are you doing these days? I'm assuming you're spending a little time out there on the golf course.
Well, not so much anymore. I'm out there. I wouldn't call it golf, but what I do basically, guys, is nothing, and I'm damn good at it. I am great at doing nothing, and I really like this nothing lifestyle. And then I've got, you know, grandkids playing basketball, volleyball, running track, playing golf. So I kind of chase them around, try to coach them. They do not listen to me. They are advised never to listen to me on any of this stuff. But, yeah, it's a good time. I love doing what I did for like 50 years as a sports writer, 29 years on the radio, and I probably would have been on 40. Except for you two guys, y'all kind of retired.
Yeah, right.
Oh, please. And, it was, but I love that lifestyle. But I sound like this, probably even better. Just the doing nothing part of it. And by the way, I got to say now, the two guys that started when I first met you guys, I think you were midnight to 7 o'clock on the ticket. It was some weird ass. Somewhere, maybe midnight to 5 a.m. on
right.
the ticket. And then, of course, the pleasure of having you come to ESPN. We worked together all those years. And now on to the Fan. And you guys are killing it. Good for you. I like to take credit for that, too. You acted like you weren't listening to my advice.
We were definitely listening to every word.
Whatever. But no, you're killing it, and I'm proud of you guys.
Wow, man, that means a lot. Yeah, the your new lifestyle, you don't miss dealing with any corporate radio executives?
You know what? I like dealing with those guys because I could aggravate the hell out of them. I've been doing this long. I knew they wouldn't fire me, so I love to. Well, as you know, the aggravation part was me aggravating the suits was something I took great pleasure in.
My favorite Randy Galloway story is from the radio side. There was an issue. I think it was the Mavericks. Hey, Randy, the Mavericks came back from this game, and you called them bums and
gutless pigs.
Gutless pigs, and Randy, that's personal. So you can't make a personal attack. You need to go apologize. You're like, all right. So you get on the air. You're like, hey, listen, I've been told I went a little too far by calling the Mavs gutless pigs. So I would like to double down because they were gutless pigs.
Hey, I don't know. You probably can't get away with that kind of stuff anymore. But again, that was the aggravation thing when it came to the suits. Was I like doing that stuff. That was good, real good on the deal.
Well, listen, man, keep enjoying doing nothing. Watch a little Masters this weekend. We got to catch up real soon. But anytime you feel the need to reach out to the masses, you got a platform right here, man.
Hey, will do, guys. Enjoyed it. Okay.
Hey, thank you, Randy. Really appreciate the time.
All right, see.
It goes the great Randy Galloway. And nowadays, out of necessity, a staff will say, hey, listen, you got to be a writer and a host, or you writers, you need to be radio hosts or podcast hosts or vice versa. And some people are good at it, but Randy, not out of necessity, just because he was a beast, was a super talented columnist and a super talented radio host. And because he was so good at each thing, he made it look easy.
Yeah.
Oh, it must be easy to write columns. It must be easy to do talk shows on the radio. And, man, he is just one of a kind. Such a pleasure working with him, learning from him for all those years. And I just would love it because he'd walk in, he'd be chewing on a cigar, not smoking it, chewing on a cigar, and he'd walk in for his show, and we'd still be on the air, and he'd kind of kick the door from the studio during the first commercial break since he's there, and he's wearing sunglasses still indoors. He goes, which one of you dumbasses said this? It's like he was not different. He did not play a character. He was always the same, and he would spit fire nonstop, and everybody in that building worshiped the ground he walked on. It was such a pleasure to work with him, and I just don't think you could have a major story like this and not hear Randy's voice, and so I'm grateful that he took the time to call in.
Absolutely, man. I'm going to make this super, super quick. Because Randy saved us. And we've talked about this. When we were at the Fan the first time, it was going poorly. We hated our boss, and he hated us. He wanted us gone. And remember, the Mavs were playing the Spurs in the playoffs. It's Friday, right before game one. I'm getting ready to go down there that weekend and do the game. And Bigby comes in and goes, you guys are not going to talk Spurs-Mavs once. We have a four-hour radio show. The playoffs are starting. He's just being a jerk. And Ben and I are at, like, our wits' end. Like, oh, my God, this is horrible. Go down, game one. Game is over. And I go to the watering hole in San Antonio where everybody goes. And I really didn't know how much Randy knew about us or was paying attention to us or what. And I'm standing there with Sefco. And Randy walks up. He doesn't even say hello or anything. He goes, we need to get you guys over there with us. And it was, I mean, I can't tell you how good that made me feel when we were just like struggling to keep our heads above ours. Like, someone out there believes in us. It was really great. So, God bless you, Randy.